you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
Afternoons on the Score.
This hour on 670 The Score is brought to you by the NV5 Invitational, July 25th through 28th at the Glen Club. It's Matt Spiegel here with you, along with Ryan McGuffey on 670 The Score. Guff trying to get in and utilize the Holmes maneuver, which I believe is his own maneuver. So it goes as one team trails and one team gets going. It's an interesting time in the baseball calendar, as we were talking about. Hoping to talk to Jonathan Papelbon coming up here in a little bit, and we'll let you know if we do. But in the meantime, Guff, the psyche of a player, like we were talking about with Kopech, like banking on the psyche of somebody is obviously the most difficult part of scouting in any sport. I think about it a lot, thought about it a lot in the last, 9 years as we've broken down quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, and really longer than that. Hell, man, I sat here for every day of Jay Cutler's tenure.
Yep.
Except for a few days off. And you were working for every day of that as well, right? Yeah. And we like examining that dude's psyche and trying to figure things out. But certainly in terms of scouting, like when you don't know somebody, have you learned anything in that regard? Picked up anything that you can feel like is wisdom as you're thinking about whether a team should go get somebody or not?
Yeah, because it's a dual path. You have Major League Baseball players who are humans that no one wants to hear about, right? Like, they're these ultra-talented guys that are walking lottery tickets. That's what I've always said that. Like, they've put the work in. They've obviously worked their tail off to get to the major leagues. They have a talent that we wish we had a tenth of, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else's view of it is, like, it's a 6-3 game. I don't care. Get the job done. Win, 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 win. Robot, 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 robot. And so when you talk to guys like that, and I mean, the reason, like, I think a lot of the times I've been successful in my career and forming relationships is just by talking to guys like they're you and I. Just talk to them. Because a lot of people don't. Fans, media, requests, all that stuff. People, it's just want, expect. When you go up to a guy and you ask him how he's doing, and you're not talking about baseball, it's like, wait, what? What's your intent? And it's like, nothing. I'm just asking how you're doing. Like, how's life? Like, I know you're struggling right now. Like, at least you got like married in the off season. Like,
yeah,
that's cool. And
that's hard to do sometimes.
Well, I've learned that that's a talent and a skill, and that's why there's very few people who do it, because these guys, like, psyche. That's part of figuring out a psyche of a guy is it's more than scouting.
Of course it is. It's what kind of human are they? Like, how do they relate? Because you need sort of a baseline of comfort in interpersonal relations to know that you're then going to be comfortable when you come into a new place. You got to learn a whole bunch of new stuff, and you got to rise above whatever might be difficult in order to perform well every day.
I would ask any player coming in. I mean, we know probably more than any other sport, bullpen volatility is as unpredictable as anything in sports, right? Like, you could have a stud. I always think of 2005. I always think of Cliff Polite and Neil Kotz every single time. And those guys had career years. I think ERAs of 2 flat on Polite, and Kotz was like a 1.93. Those guys, I think Polite pitched in a handful of games in 06 and retired. And Neil Kotz got traded to the north side and never had an ERA below 4, I think. I mean, it makes no sense. It doesn't. But for that year, the way it all transpired, you can't predict the bullpen itself. But then if you're talking about giving the 7th, 8th, and 9th to one of these guys that you're acquiring,
yeah,
and you think that you know them based off of a baseball reference page or the back of or what somebody said in Oakland or Chicago or Colorado, and that's all you're doing is watching a guy with a radar gun and whether or not people are chasing it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's enough. I don't. I think you need to have, you need to go deeper. And if you, if it's, if you're giving up prospects or anybody you care about,
mm-hmm.
you better know who you're handing the ball to with the lead and your $40 million manager, who he's given the ball to in the eighth inning of a pennant race in August and September.
For sure. I you know, it's a fascinating thing and something we can certainly touch on as we bring in our next guest. Jonathan Papelbon is going to join us, and looking forward to this. We have been for quite a while. Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is where we get him. Download the Circa Sports app today. Jonathan Papelbon, longtime closer in MLB for the Red Sox and the Nats and more. And you can see that, man, these days. Coming up on NESN. Jonathan, this just dropped. Welcome to the show, by the way. Thanks for doing it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How are we doing?
We're good.
We're good, man. So this news release just dropped that NESN is going to be doing like an alternate baseball broadcast for Red Sox games, and you're going to be on a couple of them with Jared Karabas coming up. So that's pretty cool. How are you enjoying media life these days?
Man, to be totally honest with you, I really do enjoy it. It took me a little while to kind of find my love for that game after I was done playing, you know, which – I do actually credit the Savannah Bananas for that, because I wanted nothing to do with baseball until I hooked up with Savannah Bananas, and my love for the game just kind of grew in a different way. And now I'm in the media, which I never thought I'd be either. And man, I just love being at NESN. Honestly, I really truly do. And you know, we're gonna do this alternate cast thing, you know, kind of like the Mannings, and you know, hopefully we're better than Michael K and A-Rod, you know. So, I mean, I just look forward to it. And, you know, it's a different spin. It's a new generation now, and we're trying to put that spin on it. We're going to have fun with it. Me and a guy named Jared Karabas, social media superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, yeah, like, we're just trying to bring the game to a different atmosphere, to a different audience, and yeah, we're going to have fun with it. So it's going to be fun.
That's awesome, man. I love that the Savannah Bananas brought you back to the fun. We had Vincent the Dancing Umpire on this show. That what they have going on is a pretty special thing. Did you have fun as a player, Jonathan? Did you need to have fun as a player, and did you?
As a player in the big leagues, or are we talking Savannah Bananas still?
In the big leagues, sir. When you're in the big leagues, did you have fun, and that was that a necessary part of it for you?
I had no choice but to have fun. I came up with a team. You remember a team with the 04 Red Sox?
Yeah.
Heard of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I came up shortly after the 2004 World Championship with those group of guys. So I don't think I had any kind of choice but to come up, have fun, kick some ass, and take names. You know what I mean?
Well, you certainly don't lack personality. You didn't lack personality as a player, and it's probably why you were so successful in your role as a closer, and it's going to be why you're successful in your role in the media. But we've been sitting here talking about bullpen volatility and makeup, and the Cubs have just really struggled in the 7th, 8th, and 9th trying to find a guy or find consistency. You're 11th all time in Major League Baseball in saves. I mean, you don't get there by accident. There's no such thing as an off year for a guy who finishes 11th all-time in saves. How do you get the ball in the ninth? Or when you got the ball in the ninth inning or sometimes in the eighth inning, even when you weren't feeling it, how did you manage to be that guy every single day, every single night, every single year?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, I was fortunate enough that my off year was my last year in the big league, so I didn't have time to be that off so much. But, you know, today I think the game has changed a whole lot. You know, obviously with the role of the closers too. Now it's high leverage guy, they call them. So, you know, for me it was all about consistency, man. And I knew each and every day that this was my job. I was going in the ninth if we had a lead. My job was to preserve that win. And I think it's a lot harder for these kids nowadays because their roles are changing from game to game. You know, let's pitch you to seventh now because we got a guy on second and third. Let's do this differently. So consistency was my biggest thing. And obviously coming up with guys like Jason Baratek behind the plate, made all the difference in the world for me. Just because of the simple fact that he was able to show me so many things and able to teach me how to be mature in so many different ways, but yet still have fun and go out there and compete and try to win a ball game every night. But, you know, for me, the closer's role is the absolute hardest role there is. I've always said that I compare it to an NFL kicker a lot. Either you're a hero or you're a goat, and there's really no in between. You know, a starter can go out there and kind of have an okay start. Nah, you know, let's get to the next one, and you don't really hear about it. But if a closer goes out there and he's just okay and he's not good and they lose the game, you know, that rests solely upon his shoulders. So I think the mental makeup of a closer is huge, huge, huge. And I think that Theo Epstein and Terry Francona in my rookie year saw that, you know, I wanted to be a closer and I wanted to be in those situations, and those situations made me better. And sometimes they make people fold under that pressure. But for me, I think my ERA was worse in non-safe situations than they were in closer ball games. So it was a good thing for me.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it right now. It was low leverage. Your ERA was the worst of all the leverages. 100% true. Look, we know Theo Epstein pretty well around these parts after his run in Chicago. I played music with that dude. Hung out with that dude. He can admit that he's wrong every once in a while. He thought you should be a starter at first, right?
Yes. So, you know, that's the great thing about Theo. And obviously it sounds like you know Theo very well. There's no ego with Theo. Theo is a very, very smart, very precise decision maker. And when it came down to that, I think that all the analytics that we had at the time were, you know, let's get as many innings out of you as we can. But the analytics at that time really couldn't comprehend what happens at the end of a ball game. And when a manager for 75 times a year, roughly 60 to 75 times in that gap, can go to his one guy every night when I had that lead, and I know that I can count on him. You know, the analytics really didn't show that back then. So, I don't blame Theo, but I sure like to give Theo hell these days.
Well, yeah, you should. But like,
well, I do. In fact, I texted him the other day. You know, he's back with the Sox now, or I should say the FSG group, Fenway Sports Group.
Yes.
So I texted him. This is about 2 weeks ago. And I said, "Hey, man, we need to get up together and you know, have a cup of coffee during the game or something. As soon as I get done with pregame with Ness, and I'll come up to the." To the suite, let's chat, catch up, man, because we got to talk about how you screwed my career up. just messing with him.
Yeah, well, he's got to take that one.
I want to go off something you were talking about earlier about closers today. You know, I look back like when you were pitching 05, 06, 07, and I see, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys with 40 plus saves. Okay, last year there was one. There was one in the major league. Do you think? And I don't know, what's the reason for that? Is there too much involved in the high leverage inning and analytics and not trusting that the last three outs are the most important three outs to get or the hardest three outs to get? Why has there been such a discrepancy? Because the pay is still there. I mean, we see the contracts that are going to the Josh Haders of the world and the Edwin Diazes of the world. But there's just not enough of those guys consistently cranking out 35, 40, 45 saves.
Yeah, you know, that to me is staggering too, as well. And, you know, I think really and truthfully, at the end of the day, we have turned the page on an era of baseball, truthfully and honestly. And, you know, I think a lot of these saves records and people like your Kenley Jansen right now, who else we got? We got a Kimbrel right now that are all kind of on their way out, so to speak. The last generation of the night in, night out, ninth inning closers role, I think we are now looking at a game that is transversing into let's use that guy it doesn't matter if it's the sixth inning or the eighth inning. If we feel like panic is starting to happen, let's bring that guy in. Which, to me, at the end of the day, what are you going to do in the ninth inning when that panic happens again? So you kind of set yourself up. So it's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. And, you know, to me, I think Major League Baseball should get back to the other. These closers come in and having six, seven of them a year with 40-plus saves. Because I don't know if you remember when I came in to drop Kate Murphy.
Yep.
It was awesome. Yeah. Sandman, Mariano,
yeah,
Hell's Bells, Hoffman. I mean, dude, the fans want to see that. I mean, look at the Edwin Diaz with the Timmy Trumpets guy, you know?
Yeah.
I think baseball needs to close back in that role just for pure viewership.
It's the WWE version. That's the only WWE part of baseball was the entrance and the show of the closer coming from the bullpen. And we've lost a lot of that.
It is the version of, say, the Red Sox ability to say, when we're at home and we're playing the Yankees, guess what? We got the game one and we're bringing in our closer. Let's showboat it, run it in your face. And that's a spectacle that the fans want to see.
Yeah, it is. And even if it pisses off half the fans, that's good, too.
Who cares?
That works, too. Yeah. Jonathan, in prepping for your appearance today on the show, we went back and looked, and I'm watching young Bryce Harper in 2015 pop out. On his way to an MVP season, sure. But at the time, he popped out. He didn't run at all, dude. Like, just watching it again to remind myself, a couple of slow steps. He drops the bat. You feel, and then for anybody who doesn't know, you guys got into it a little bit. There might have been some hands on a throat a little bit, but you certain guys, you feel good about that in historically, retrospectively. You feel good about your role in that dude's life at that moment?
Yes, because, you know, I'll be totally honest with y'all. Look, man, there is no other player in the big leagues that I root for more than him. You know, we're done past that. But at the time, you know, it was a situation where, hell, man, we're a couple games above. We're two games up in the NL East. I come over there from the Phillies, and it just – we got to the point where guys just weren't playing. We had team meetings. Hey, let's start playing better. Let's start playing hard. Let's run everything out. Pitchers, we're not going to sit there and start thumbing up. We got to go right after guys. No more walking guys. None of this BS. Blah, blah, blah. Well, the next night, we get that situation. And, you know, so for me, I'll be honest with you. When I was young and a rookie and had tons of swag, Jason Varitek put me in my place 10 times more than what that situation unfolded. Now, I wish it would have, like I said on Twitter, I wish it would have unfolded in a tunnel and not the dugout, right? but it is what it is, man. And shoot, I grew up with two brothers. We all played baseball. They weren't good enough to make it to AAA, but hell, it's part of the game, and it's because you care. And I think that Bryce knew that it's because I care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and look what kind of pro he is these days, and the rest of his.
Yeah, and I'm
career.
Not going to take credit for that though. I'm not going to take credit for that, but I will say that this does happen. It happened with me throughout your career. There's many obstacles that happen and things that happen that make you great, and I do believe that that's one of them because it was one that Varitek did for me. That's great. Now Jason Worth was a big impact in his career earlier. Zimmerman, a lot of other guys. So. I just say this, man, I root for him. In fact, last year, he kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you, because I took him when everybody took last year, when everybody counted the Phillies out, they were plus 1500 to win the World Series. And I said, oh, hell no, Bryce ain't gonna let that happen. And, I said, I'm going to put 10,000 on. So I should have won 150,000 on him, but they lost a 3-game lead somehow.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's a ride, dude, because they looked unbeatable.
They
Philly was going nuts. That ballpark, it looked like they had they had all the mojo. Did you spend it? Had you spent it already in your mind?
Well, I'll say this. I had half the bottle drank already.
I want to ask you about something off topic that we were Matt and I were discussing right before you came on, and you were traded once, but we have two teams here in town that are both struggling, but one's the worst in baseball, and they have some assets that are going to be flipped here in the next month or so. When you're going out there, and not that you did this much, to be honest with you, when you're going out there and playing for a team that's just taking it on the chin night in and night out, I'm sure in the grind of things, it's not all that easy to get up to play, even though it is your job. What kind of bump or motivation, especially in the bullpen? I'm talking specifically about a bullpen arm. If a guy who appears to be struggling or is having very little success at times but great stuff can get dealt to a team that's in contention in August and September, what can that do to a reliever that maybe is not happening for a team that's up the track?
Well, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it when a guy goes from the worst team in baseball to a contender. Whoa, all of a sudden this guy steps up and just steps right in because of the guys around him. In baseball, it's like it's very much like football. You are not successful unless you have the guys in front of you. A quarterback's not successful unless he has a line blocking for him, right? A closer's not successful unless he has a setup man at 6 and 7 and 8 to go ahead and get it to him. And in baseball, that seems to be noticed even more to me, because you are nobody without the guys that you go in that bullpen with. And, it's a sad thing to see in Chicago right now, with both teams. I know they expected a whole lot more out of Council and a whole lot more in Chicago, but on the South side. But, man,
that's how we all feel.
You just got to ride the wave sometime, man. And you know what I do?
What do you do?
Bet against the White Sox every day.
Oh.
I just put it in.
So the bottle's tasting good. The bottle's tasting good for you these days then.
Yeah. So I hate to say it is. And even my son came up to me the other day. He was like, I know you take the money on the White Sox. He's like, but that Crochet guy, I wouldn't bet against him. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty.
And, but look how great he is, yet still it is so hard for them to put together a win for that guy.
Yeah, you can't pitch nine. Nobody pitches nine. So did you bet against him the other night when he was pitching? Would it turned out just fine?
I actually didn't. So my rule, when I go on the Foul Territory podcast with your boy AJ Przinski,
yeah.
He told me, you get signed. Take every game, but I wouldn't take the Crochet game. So I might not even listen to him no more.
All right, yeah, exactly. All right, well, you can talk that with AJ. When you come on with us, we do Theo stories, okay? I got good ones, too. I got good ones, so we can trade those when you come on with us, all right?
That sounds good, brother.
All right. Hey, Jonathan Papelbon,
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks for doing it. Appreciate the time.
Good talking, man.
All right, you too. That's Jonathan Papelbon, who pissed a lot of people off when he was a player, and I think doesn't mind pissing people off now that he's doing media. So that's a good starting point.
It's good to have... The people who are pissed off, though, are still watching,
still listening,
still complaining.
Yeah.
It's good to have both sides of the ledger.
Something meaningful's happening at 351. These guys don't even know. Talk some Bulls top of the hour here on 670 The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
A source told the Parkinson Spiegel Show on 670 The Score. I know those guys.
Afternoons on The Score.
It is indeed Parkinson Spiegel right here on 670 The Score. Top of the hour, one local team may be about to do something they should have done a long, long time ago. We'll get there. Bobby Jenks is coming on this show at 4:40 as it's former closer day, apparently. You didn't know, Ryan McGuffey, but that's where we are. Here's another thing you didn't know. And let's see if you know now. Do you know what's happening at 3:51 p.m. today? Does anybody out there know? Tanny, I don't think you know. Something meaningful is happening
that we should observe as a show?
I'm the wrong person to ask because I don't think anything's particularly meaningful. So.
Oh, 351. It's an anniversary, obviously.
No, it's not an anniversary. At 3:51 p.m., I don't think Shane knows what's happening. It's meaningful. It's meaningful to everybody in the Northern Hemisphere, which I think is the best hemisphere.
Is this another stupid-ass eclipse?
No, there's no eclipse.
I brought my glasses. Did you? Here,
but I did. I am a sun enthusiast, though. Today is the
summer solstice.
It's the summer solstice today.
That doesn't matter.
Oh, it does, though.
It's technically the longest day. It's right? The longest day of the year.
It's the longest day of the year.
Science. I took science.
For everybody in the Northern Hemisphere, which, again, is the best of the hemispheres. Screw you, Southern Hemisphere.
More time to be awake and depressed.
You have all the time in the world to bemoan your lack of success.
Well, you know what? We're going to complain December 20th or 21st when it's winter solstice and it's like 3:52.
It's like, this is short as sun. Why do we live here?
Sun doesn't come up to 11.
We don't live here.
It's at 1:20.
It's 4 o'clock. It's dark.
Hey, yo, back it up. I said nothing about lack of success. Where the hell did that come from?
Oh, I might have been projecting.
Yeah, I think I'm doing all right.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to other people out there.
Just out there in the
world. You know why, Shane? Because no one is immune from human misery. No one. Mm. No matter what level of success.
Especially in this town.
Yeah, especially on this show.
I wish the Lord would take me now.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody can identify with that. It is the longest day of the year. The sun will spend the most time up in the sky. And what's been going on, by the way, the sun appears in a higher spot in the sky at the same time each day until it reaches its maximum point, which is today at 4:51 p.m. Eastern time.
8:30 sunset. So 8:30.
That's right. 8:30, baby.
Yeah.
So you got all day to enjoy the sun, enjoy the sunlight, and enjoy this freaking town.
Sounds like a great Riverwalk cocktail day.
Or the lakefront. Man,
I
got a buddy in from out of town. Got a friend in from out of town. And yesterday, I'm like, yeah, so have you even been to the lakefront? He's like, I mean, yeah, I've been to the lakefront a couple times. You know where I took him, though? Yeah, I drove him over down to the planetarium. I said, don't look to your left. And then I did the big moment of reveal.
The unveil.
Oh.
Did you propose there?
No, but we made out for a while.
Yeah, well,
which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to, but
it was the setting, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know.
It's almost the summer solstice.
If I had done it today, then I would have had to kill him, because I think that's what you do on the solstice.
Yes.
3:51 could be an interesting time for that. But yeah, so I did the big reveal of that, the lakefront, and then we parked, and then we made out, because we parked, to your point. No, we didn't. Mm. We parked, and we walked over to the beach right there, that little 12th Street beach.
Yep.
We walked around Northerly Island. A little bit, and it's like, I love, by the way, that the old Miggs Field traffic control tower is still there.
Love it.
It's the shortest, dinkiest, most hilarious traffic control tower of all time.
Daly's final middle finger to the city is like, I'm going to rip it out of here overnight, but I'm going to keep the tower.
And the office building.
Yeah.
Like the office building, which is like the height of what, mid-50s decor?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. It might have been. Think about how great it looked in 1952, though.
Probably kicked ass. Look at us. We're all flying.
Probably like olive green wallpaper.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm going to put on my suit and tie because I'm getting on an airplane, and then I'm going to smoke half a pack of cigarettes on my way to New York.
Well, there's a non-smoking section, so don't worry about it. It's the guy next to you.
Yeah. No, none of this smoke gets anywhere past Road 20. I'm totally fine back here. But yeah, so like just... My goodness, this town.
I love playing tourists in the city sometimes.
Yes.
I mean, people complain about it, but like I do. I love, about every 4 years, I'll do the architectural tour with the family.
I try to do it every year.
As a reminder. Yeah, I should do it more often.
Just because with a different family member.
I'll do it by myself. I could care less. You want to go or not, I'm in. Like,
I'll do mine with a different family, you know? My weekend family. We go quite often.
You want to come with us? We're going to do it with Tevin Jenkins.
Oh,
we were talking to Tevin about it. He loves skyscrapers. He wasn't sure that we had skyscrapers. Remember that from his introductory press conference?
Right. Yes.
He wasn't sure.
Man.
Oh, yes, we do, Tevin.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Do you guys have a skyscraper?
Yes. The voice went up that high? Yeah, we got a few, man.
Yeah.
So we told him that we want to take him on the architectural tour. Maybe you're in.
I'm in.
All right.
I'm always in for that kind of stuff. I'm not necessarily in for North Avenue Beach, but I'll hit the other ones.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. Shane likes to make fun of me, says I'm a tourist from Ames, Iowa.
You are.
From time to time. I mean, yes, I took my friend down to the planetariums.
What do you do, Shane? What do you do?
He loves
what kind of baseball
rooftop.
Do you play? What do you do?
Where'd you play your ball?
No, here's the thing.
Shane doesn't like the city.
I love the city. Speaks lives downtown.
Yes, I do.
Brings people to Cindy's Rooftop and the Bean and loves like Giordano.
But you gotta, that's not true.
But you got to remember.
No offense to Giordano's, but also, I do not like them.
Speaks is not from here.
You also got to remember that people from Ames, Iowa and anywhere else love that crap, which is why it exists. The Bean and Cindy's Rooftop and everywhere else.
Yes.
There's great places to eat. But they really just want to see the stuff that they want, that they know about.
And there's no problem with that, with them doing it. I have a problem with Speegs doing it.
Oh, okay. Cindy's Rooftop. Take the wife up there. Hey, it's a nice little spin
like
on the dial.
Would you like a $48 margarita?
Right. No.
Please come to Cindy's.
I went to the... we went to the movies yesterday during the day with our daughter and saw the movie everyone's seeing Inside Out 2.
Oh, yeah.
Got it. My wife's like, hey, we should get a couple beers. And I was like... Absolutely. Yeah. That's the 1:30 showing.
The McGuffins are millionaires.
Yeah.
Love that.
My namesake, the McGuffins Bar. I go up there and I get two beers. She's like, $43.50.
Oh, my Jesus goodness.
Christ. I said, wait. I said, I just got the two. And she looks at me.
I'm not buying for the next person
in line.
She
literally goes, welcome to ballpark prices. I was like, these are 19. I looked at I mean, normally I'm like, whatever. I'm like, okay.
That's a lot more than ballpark prices.
I know. I went inside. I sat down next to my wife. I said, enjoy our $43 beers.
But it's still, that's a lovely way to spend an afternoon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so look, I have
That's a fun movie, by the way.
Yeah. Inside Out 2, is it good? Yeah.
Drink some beers and get them.
Yeah, they all kind of are now, right, Ryan? All these movies make you cry. Yeah.
We're just teaching kids how depressed they are.
No, it's good to show some emotion and humility there, Shane.
Well, it's good they know that life is filled with disappointment.
Yeah.
Good. What is this anxiety character? Well,
you'll find out.
Yeah, it's coming.
They already know.
This is what'll drive you to the whiskey.
That's why mommy and daddy are having $43 beers. I mean, there's a reason. That's why we're just like, oh, that's a lot of money. But yes, I do.
Yeah, I'll take them. You already poured them. I'd be rude of me.
You don't want to do that. He was blown away, man. He's blown away. But and so today, for those of you, I know it's cloudy. Okay, maybe the clouds will part a little bit and get a little bit of sun in your life. But this is what we do as a city, which makes us freaking awesome, is whenever there's a chance to get outside, we do it. We stomp on the summer with 2 feet in this town as it makes it livable and survivable the rest of the year.
I will sit outside as long as I can, as late as I can on these days because we don't... Take advantage of them. Stop complaining about everything. Not happening.
Here's the deal. My wife's out of town.
Okay.
I've got the balcony couch over there in the South Loop.
Uh-huh.
I've been threatening to do it, and I haven't done it. I'm going to sleep outside tonight.
Okay, so I did it a couple nights ago.
Did you?
I did. So,
see, look, we're kindred spirits in this way.
So if we have time for the story, real quick. It's a quick one. Should I come back with it?
Let's come back with it. Let's come back with it. We're going to get that story in the next segment about you sleeping outside. You're going to give me advice for me because I'm sleeping outside tonight. What I don't want is a cicada to go down my throat.
I think we're past that. I think we're good.
All right, good.
I think we're good.
Appreciate that. Plus, I live in the city. Also, though, Tyson Bagent, backup quarterback. We had a QB2 party right here in this studio to celebrate his QB2-ness. He says that somebody is the most important player on the team. I have no idea who he's referring to. Little Bears talk and sleeping outside talk. Why would you go anywhere else other than right here on The Score?
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Fans, they don't like him.
Afternoons on The Score.
You know, our defense, in my opinion, is a top five defense in the league. And, you know, we've got some guys on offense, especially after the offseason we had. I think Poles did a great job of, going out there and getting current players and then doing a good job in the draft. So anytime anybody asks me, I just tell them that I think we got a shot to win the Super Bowl this year, and that is truly how I feel. And, there's a lot, obviously, to figure out, but I think if we figure it out, then we're definitely contenders this year.
Tyson Bagent is feeling it! A couple years ago, Danny Parkins, who's usually right here between 2 to 6, threw himself a QB1 party when Justin Fields had shown out in an island game. Danny came in. There were balloons. There were there was a feather boa that he wore. Year later, after Tyson Bagent had a real good game as a backup, I threw a QB2 party. There was no boa. There was like just a couple of very small balloons.
Tune into Twitch, see the balloons.
Do you have an arm wrestling situation?
I did not. Okay. I had mediocre off-brand snacks is what I brought in for the QB2 party. Just like very low-level snacks. It's like some Dr. Thunder soda, instead.
Absolutely. Same colors, but not.
Just what I could afford.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was only QB2.
But a great story, like a D2 kid. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if they did find themselves a suitable backup, as an undrafted free agent, I mean, that's cheap, too. And that counts if he's a helper in the room and all that. So Tyson Bagent, and he was doing, one of those big-time radio broadcasts from the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. Is that where this is from? Tanny, you spent a lot of time there.
Don't be searched WRNR. All right.
I will not. Are they hiring?
I don't know what's
No, but for real.
It's a very unique part of the country. Like, I was watching the video of the entire interview.
Oh, my God.
A lot
God.
Of good stuff in there, but, like, there's a lot of, like, Orioles stuff. Like, that's the baseball team of the region, but it's also West Virginia. It's a very unique part of the country.
Is there a big tapestry of Bob Huggins on the wall behind them?
Like, remember, this is where they sing Thank God I'm a Country Boy at Orioles games, which is like, wait, where are we? I thought we were on the East Coast.
Oh, no, I thought this was a city. No. Are there crabs here? Are people dining on crabs? I don't believe country boys eat crabs. Maybe they do. But anyway, thank you for your service of listening to WRNR. Tyson Bagent said somebody is the most important player on the team. Tanny's heard it.
Any guesses, anyone, before we do it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I haven't heard it. Shane, have you heard it? Ryan McGuffey, you haven't heard it?
I've not heard it.
Okay, I'm tempted to say it's not going to be Caleb Williams since that wouldn't be on here. Most important player on the team. I'm going to go with Tyson Bagent. Say he's going to name himself as the most important player on the team.
Do you really?
No, not necessarily.
Most important player.
I'm going to go with one who I think is very important. I'm going to go with Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard, veteran leadership.
Damn it, you took my
strong old man.
I'm going. All right, I'll go a step in, ahead of him and say Tremaine Edmonds.
Tremaine Edmonds. Okay, not T.J. Edwards, but Tremaine Edmonds.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Shane, you got a guess on the most important player?
Interesting
that
we both go defense.
We both go defense and leadership.
Okay.
Yeah. Is Caleb Williams not an option?
He is.
It is. It is, certainly. You can go for that.
Yeah, I would say Caleb Williams.
Okay, I don't think you'll be right, but maybe none of us will. Here it is.
I think the world of Mercedes Lewis. He is the most important player on the team, in my opinion. I think that, he's just kind of the glue to everything going on around you. Like, he's, the way he speaks, every time I had a conversation with him, I wish I was just writing some of it down. Like, just, 20 years in the league, playing at the level that he is playing, especially just, and even talking to him, he's, asking him how his body's feeling in year 18 last year, and just kind of asking him about how he feels and how much longer he thinks he can play and all that stuff. And he literally is convinced that he's just in a different prime. Like, I think the first 12 years, I think he was a dangerous pass catcher, a good one-on-one matchup that you could take advantage in the red zone. And I think from then up until this point, he's just in a pass blocking, run blocking prime right now. He's jacking dudes around, young guys. He's talking trash just like everybody else out there, and then just post-game speeches, pre-game speeches, after practice speeches, during practice speeches. He certainly didn't get signed because he's the best athlete in the league. He got signed because of just a wisdom and such a high character level cat. So I think the world of Mercedes Lewis, so I don't think that's a hot take at all.
Wow. All right. First of all,
I got like four things. I know there's so much here.
That's offensive Byard in a lot of ways. Yeah. But I like the way Tyson Bagent talks about team football.
He will be in the league at least 10 years. I'm putting that on the table right now. Tyson Bagent's in the league for 10 years. Because he has a little Mercedes Lewis in him already. He's just a human notebook, though. He's walking around going, wait, how did you last this long? How's your body feel? It's impossible. No one plays 19 years. I love that he's deferring to the vet. Like, right? He's not going to, hey, okay. No, he's not going to DeAndre Swift and asking him, hey, where'd you learn? He's going to the guys like, how have you survived? And how does this keep happening? And I love that little peek behind the curtain there. I love the idea that he just wants to, you could tell that Bajant's kind of addicted to ball.
Yeah, that, right? that he loves it. He loves team. He knows what it's about. And he's clearly interested in just being the best version of whatever his job is at a given freaking moment, which is how you last in the league. And you know what? That was the impetus behind the QB2 party, frankly.
Yep.
It's like they found a backup quarterback who's going to be in this league a good long time.
Remember, he needs to serve as Mercedes Lewis as he continues to grow as a player in the league too. We're talking about year two mm-hmm. of an undrafted free agent rookie or a backup quarterback. But there's no there was something Ryan Poles saw in him, right? He saw these capabilities in him when they brought him into the facility.
Saw a dude who could learn, was willing to learn, was a great communicator.
Also a great the guy has every Division II record that stands. He's not like some has been or good story that's had a cup of coffee playing college football. I mean, that guy is a stud. What he's and then in the community, he's already a stud. My son went to like a private Tyson Bajant camp that for 50 kids earlier this year, 13 and up, just free. Like, hey man, show up here. It's unbelievable. Like he's got fans of guys already, regardless if he plays it down or not.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's bringing that, I love what you said about understanding and being his best self in his role.
In the role that you are. Maybe your role will change, but right now this is my role. Let me just be the best version of it I can be. For any athlete on any team, when you find somebody who gets that and knows that, that is worth protecting. All right. I told you last segment that I was thinking about sleeping outside tonight.
Okay.
On the balcony couch.
Yeah.
And you slept outside. You did it because we share an affinity for being outside as long as possible. What'd you learn?
So, we're having a little house reno right now in our kitchen. So we had some floors done, and the polyurethane smell has been awfully, awfully tough over the weekend. And then it kind of lingered into Monday, Tuesday. Well, it woke me up at like 2 a.m. the other night, and I had nowhere to really go. And I was trying to tiptoe around my wife. And so I just was like, screw it, man. It's like 80 outside. Like, I bet you outside it's not bad. So I'm in just my boxers out to the patio with a blanket. And I was like, this seems... it's a chaise lounge, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of more of a sectional than a chaise, I would say.
Okay.
But I decided at 2:30, I'm looking up at the stars, and we kind of live near O'Hare, so there's that when the cargo runway's open. So I'm going, maybe this is kind of stupid. I woke up at 6 a.m. to raindrops hitting me. And I was like, you know what? I need to do that more.
Yes.
That was 3.5 hours, and I would have continued to... Well, the best part was as I skipped my way into the house to figure out how I could crash for another 90. My neighbor next door was like, hey. And I go, I promise you I'm not in the doghouse.
And I'm not doing a walk of shame either.
No, this was a great experience. I would have kept sleeping had it not been for the raindrops that suddenly hit me in the face.
Well, I'll check the forecast before I commit to being out there.
These popcorn showers in the heat, so to speak. You know, sometimes you can't plan for
them. They sound delicious, though. Candy talk next hour. But coming up in a moment, local team may be about to do something they should have done a long, long time ago. He's Ryan McGuffey. It's Spiegs and McGuffey on Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.